You're listening to Intentionally Catholic, a podcast about living our Catholic faith with joy and intention.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Hansen, and as always, I'm joined by Father Ron Hutchinson. And on today's episode, we're going to continue our conversation about evangelization. However, before we take a deeper look at evangelizing the world around us, which is where I eventually want to get to, I really want to stop and just focus on evangelizing at ground zero, you know, the home, our home. I just recently ran into a survey that says 15% of Catholic kids remain Catholic. Now, studies are what they are, and I know you can get a lot of different results just by skewing questions and stuff like that. But still, 15% of Catholic kids remain Catholic. If that's even remotely close to the actual number, that's very scary. So with that said, Father, let's talk about what we as Catholic parents can do to raise kids who stay Catholic. And to spark that conversation, this discussion, each of us has compiled a list of some brilliant ideas, don't you think?
Oh, we're brilliant. Very brilliant.
Brilliant ideas. We're going to get to those. But before I do, a couple things right off the bat. First off, we'd love you out there listening to be a part of this discussion. You know, any insight, ideas, or questions that you have along the lines of this topic, or really any other ones that we've talked about, but specifically this one, you know, more ideas are often better. So we'd love to hear those ideas, those insights, those questions. You can send those our way by emailing us at comments@icatholic.show. Send those emails. We'd love to hear from you. All right, that's the first thing. The second thing is kind of a disclaimer of sorts. You know, I've got ideas for how to raise kids who stay Catholic, but that certainly doesn't mean I've accomplished this. I'm still fully in this, and I fully get that. I'm running my race in this regard. So everything I'm going to say are ideas that I think are good and that have merit, but they're definitely not things that I've necessarily completely and perfectly implemented. Some of them I'm really struggling with. So with that said, Father, let's kick it your way. Get started with you. When it comes to helping us keep our kids Catholic, what's your first recommendation?
My first recommendation actually is going to start at the place of leading by example. I'll put it that way. Okay. If you put faith at the center of your life as a parent, meaning we don't miss Mass, period. We don't miss Mass. We don't miss Holy Days. This is who we are. This is how we live. That no bones about it, and no apologies for it either, then that is going to be at least you're going to be ahead of the game as a parent in keeping your kids Catholic. It's also it's the matter of it's that idea of if this is what you show as important in your life, you value it. And not just, and I should say, not just going to Mass. I mean, that's good, but that the parish is a very large part of your life as a family and as an individual. So you feel like, hey, I've got to show my kids who I am, kind of idea, or what I think is important, because it's caught, not taught. Okay. It's caught. And therefore, they're going to catch it from you. They're going to see what you value. They're going to value what you value. Now, granted, there's always a little pushback from teenagers and et cetera, about, you know, like, I don't want to be my parents. I want to be myself, my own individual. But that, I think, is a start right there.
Just by living the faith.
Living the faith. This is who we are. This is who we are. There's no apologies for it. There's no exceptions for it. Like, I think once you start making exceptions, then exceptions become the rule. Okay. Yeah, so yeah. If you're on vacation, you go to church. If you've been out late, you go to church. You know, it's who we are. This is who we are, people.
It's really one of the crazy, well, maybe not crazy, but I've really enjoyed that. That's one of the big benefits of the Catholic faith that I've really, really enjoyed is the vacation thing. Going on vacation, when we went as Protestants, we didn't, generally speaking, I can't really think of a time that if we were gone over Sunday that we went to church that week. Because
it wasn't your church.
Well, and we didn't know what we were going to walk into. You know, mm-hmm. were they going to be kneeling on the ground? There were stuff that we'd run into that, oh, man, I can't believe we had to sit through that. It was crazy. With Catholicism, it's kind of fun because, yes, there will be differences to some extent a little bit. But you mentioned it a few weeks ago. You can be in another language and you kind of can know where you're at in the mm-hmm. mass, in the person. So we've had a lot of fun experiencing a lot of different churches. And you know, I completely agree with you. This was honestly my first one on my list too. Live our Catholic faith visibly and authentically. You know, you mentioned last week that we can't pass on what we don't have. You know, so if exactly. I'm not living this, there's no way that I can pass that on to the kids. And I was thinking about something the other day. You know, kids, they're watching us all the time, whether they're little or whether they're older, and they definitely can detect a counterfeit. You know, we can fool other people who don't live with us, but fooling mm-hmm. the people who live with us, it's a no-go. And I was thinking about a get-together that I attended years back, and somebody there told a really dumb joke. I mean, it was dumb. It was really dumb. But they thought it was hilarious. And so now you're in this awkward situation where I got to laugh. You know, I can't just stare at them. So I'm faking it. And I did a really good job. In fact, I did too good a job. And they thought I loved the joke so much that they repeated it several times throughout the evening. And each time I had to fake this laughter and just act like this was the most hilarious thing I'd ever encountered. We got in the car to go home. And one of the kids in the back seat said, "Boy, Dad, you hated that joke, didn't you?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And they said, "Oh, we could tell. Completely fake. Nobody else could tell, but the kids knew that wasn't my real laugh." And I think that really plays out. I can talk all I want about faith and all the things that it means to me. But if it doesn't, you know, I know you said we got to be a part, make this a family thing. Maybe mine is slightly different where I'm starting individually. It's got to be mm-hmm. my real faith. I've got to dig into this. We talked last week about having a personal relationship with Christ. You know, sometimes I know that's a very Protestant phrase. At least it's a phrase that I grew up with all the time. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And I've run into a number of Catholics, and certainly it's not all Catholics by any, and maybe it's the minority, but I've run into a bunch where that's a very Protestant idea. They're not sure what we mean by that. But I don't think that's just a Protestant idea. Of course, it's not. It's just having a real relationship with Christ. If we have that, the kids will see that. Now, that's not something we just manufacture. You know, it takes work. It takes effort. There's ups and downs. It's praying, you know, constantly trying to deepen that relationship. Like you said, going to Mass regularly. I love that. There's no exceptions.
Yeah. And if you're a person of prayer, real prayer, it's going to show. It shows, you know, you can't be inauthentic if you're a real person of prayer. It's you can't make it up is what I guess I would say. So, you know, yeah, you're a person of prayer. If your kids know that you are somebody who's always investigating your faith, learning about your faith, learning about the church, church history, whatever, they're also going to be interested as well. You know, again, it's caught and they're going to see it and they're going to find it interesting as well, because you're going to inadvertently talk about things that you go, you know, I ran across this the other day. Can you believe that? You know, that kind of thing. So I think that you learn, you know, history about individuals, you learn history about the church, you learn theology, you know, I think all sorts of things, and kids pick up on it.
Well, and I think you learn all of those things, but even, you know, at the core, why am I genuflecting at this moment? I've been in plenty of churches where, you know, when I was just starting this process, we'd walk in and there's no tabernacle in, you know, it's often a chapel. And we're all genuflecting towards the front, towards the altar, but there's mm-hmm. no tabernacle there. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it too, because, hey, that's what we're doing. And then as I'm getting further into it, I'm realizing, wait, okay, that's why that one lady was genuflecting in the other direction. You know, she was genuflecting.
She was actually genuinely genuflecting appropriately.
But there's so many actions that we do at Mass. We bow during the creed, you know, at the mm-hmm. incarnation when we talk about that. If we dig into why we're doing these rote, you know, it feels sometimes like rote actions. And it could be if we don't have any knowledge of them. But if we do, now that's another thing that we can explain to the kids. And when they see, I mean, there's so much beauty in just the body language of Mass mm-hmm. and what that means. And once they catch that, I think that really does keep people wanting to stay in a faith because they see what they would be missing would they leave it. And it's not the actions that they're missing. It's the fact that we're genuflecting towards Jesus, who's really here. And once we get that, I mean, who wants to walk away from that if you understand it?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's, you know, I think it's interesting that this ties into another one that I had, that parents who routinely talk about faith and religion at home are more likely to have children who stay in the faith. So it can't be something that we just bring up when, you know, okay, kids, you're showing a lack of interest, so I'm going to talk about it now. No, it's just, it's part of the regular conversation. You know, it's almost as if like, hey, we wouldn't be the Hansen family if we didn't talk about church, you know? Of course we talk about church. We're the Hansen family, you know? Of course we talk about religion, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just a regular part of who you are, you know? It's funny because I think that if you were to look at the average family, they rarely talk about faith.
You think
they
so?
They rarely talk about it. It's amazing how many families that faith is only the thing we do at church. It's just there and that's it. That's it. And so I think if it's kind of imbued in your life, it's literally like it seeps into every portion of your family life. It's who we are. It's who we are, you know. We don't even question it in that way, you know. I can't imagine my life without it kind of idea.
Right. Absolutely. That's very similar to, I think, a third one that I had. I don't even know. Numbers don't matter. Mine was be fearless and lead. And, you know, and it's basically this. Don't just demonstrate your faith, but truly lead the family. I was thinking leading the family in prayer. And if we don't do that on a regular basis, it can be really awkward, you know. And if it's awkward, work through it. You know, we got to find a way through it. When I started doing it, I mean, I still struggle with, you know, you go through some memorized prayers or things like that. That's easy. But when you go off script, you know, it becomes a little more complicated. It can be awkward, but you got to work through it. If you don't know how, dig into it. Read the Bible together, you know, at home. Bring the family to confession. I think that's, you know, lead the family to confession, you know.
You have to be a leader in this as parents. It can't be that the idea that the kids are going to point the way kind of idea, or that it's just going to happen. You're like, they'll go to confession when they're ready. No, we go to confession every week or every 2 weeks, and we do it as a family. This is what we do. It's this day, or we'll make a day or whatever. But yeah, you have to decide to be the head of the house, or the two people who are in the heads of the home together as a couple, and say, where we are helping our kids to be who they're called to be. You know, it doesn't, again, it's not going to just happen. You have to make it happen.
Right.
And so, yeah, I agree with you. It's really about being the person that they say, oh, yeah, you really do think this is important. Mm-hmm. You know, trust me, if you as a father make it clear that education is important, because you're constantly educating yourself, taking classes or reading, you know, literature that's not the stuff, you know, it's not junk literature, it's real literature, sure. You know, they're going to get, this education's important, you know. If you say to them, yeah, the grades you get matter to me, they matter to me, you know, I care what you do at school. Trust me, they'll get it. They get it. So it's the same with faith. If you're showing that this is a huge part of how you live and who you are, they're gonna take it on.
Now, for me, I added the be fearless part because for me, it's a struggle. You know, I know that we're all busy. I'm sitting at the table. I know that everybody's got a bazillion things they've got to do after dinner. We've got dishes to do. We've got 5 kids. So, man, every meal is like a marathon when it comes to dishes. I don't have a dishwasher. I guess I could say I've got 5 or 6 of us. But man, what a lot of work. And then there's dogs that need walking. There's homework the kids need to do. And everybody wants to have a little bit of fun afterwards, you know, before we go to bed. And for me to stop us and say, okay, let's get the Bible out. You know, I can feel the room deflate just slightly because they're not sure how long dad's going to go on. And so it's very tough to do that. And I got to just power my way through that. I've got to lead because this is my vocation. This is what I'm called to do. You know, you've got your vocation that involves a whole bunch of responsibilities. My main thing is I've got to do everything I can to get my kids to heaven. And yeah, that could be doing stuff. I don't have to go on and on for 20, 30, 40 minutes with the Bible, 10 minutes just reading through. But like you said, demonstrating that the Bible's important. You know, when I came to the Catholic Church, one of the, you know, my mom was not a big fan, still isn't. And she's got reason. My dad was raised Catholic and didn't read the Bible. You know, when I started this, dad literally talked to me and told me, you know, the Catholic Church really doesn't believe that's Jesus in the Eucharist, Dan. It's just a symbol. We're all believing the same thing. So dad didn't know anything. And that's what mom thinks Catholics generally are. She doesn't have a great experience talking to Catholics who read the Bible and do all these things. And I don't know how most Catholics handle that. We're struggling to find our way because we come from a Protestant background where the Bible was like the thing. You know, that's how we got all of our answers. Now I'm shifting with, you know, the church and all of that, but still going back to the Bible. But that doesn't mean the kids just thrill to the gills when I pull it out. And so what I found is it's easier to just not. I've got to find a way to get over that whatever that weakness is, and lead, because there's no way that, yeah, I guess what I'm worried about is that I'm going to drown them in it. You know, I'm going to just, there's too much. They're inundated, but there's no way that less family prayer, less family Bible study, less family trips to confession, that those things are going to produce lifelong Catholics better.
Yeah.
You know, than actually doing those things. So I've got to find a way.
Yeah. There's balance. There's always balance. And yeah, you don't want to pull out the Bible every night, you know, maybe, but you know, it's just, I think it's part, if it becomes part of a so to speak, routine, you know, but yeah, it's hard. I think as parents, we definitely, or even as adults, we always take our cues from their reactions. Well, you know what? They're also kids. They're teenagers. You know, that's going to be their reaction. You know, are they going to roll their eyes? Yeah, they're going to roll their eyes. You know, but it's funny. We'll never know the impact that they talk about with others later on in their life about how great those things were, because they're never going to tell you they were great.
Right.
They're never going to tell you.
They may, but most likely not. Every now and then you get this fun inkling. You know, I've got one of my kids. She's just super quiet. She's hilarious when, you know, get to know her, but she's not, you know, she's very introverted. She doesn't want to throw herself in front of people. And she's very quiet, I would say, about her faith. You know, it's her faith. And it's just, I always wonder what's going on in her head. You know, when you ask her questions, but she doesn't like those uncomfortable conversations, you know, and so you wonder, you pray and you give it to God and you just try to do your best. And every indication says that, you know, she goes to church never with a word of, never a complaint, you know, so all my indications are good. Well, anyway, a couple of weeks ago, she's got something at school. I can't remember what it was, but I get the text, "Dad, can you pray for me? I need all." And then she gives me this little scoop and I realize, oh, yeah, that's her first go-to. Her first go-to is to seek prayer on this. She knows she needs prayer for this. It's all sitting in there. She doesn't have to be completely overt about it. But yeah, they will learn it. They will pick it up and they will embrace it. I mean, the best chance we've got for them to do all of that is for us to demonstrate and to lead. And speaking of leading, I think I'm going to take the lead right here and push pause on this conversation. There's a lot more to cover, a lot more that I've got in my notes, a lot more that I know you probably have in yours. But I really think rather than make a great big long episode, let's cut it right here. The stuff we've covered is really worth taking some time and processing. And then next week, we're going to pick it up right where we left off. 15% of Catholic kids stay Catholic as they get older. That's pretty eye-opening. That's pretty disheartening. Let's take action. Let's pray. And let's think about what we can do as parents, as grandparents, to make sure our kids and grandkids aren't among those statistics. All right. If you've got comments, questions, disagreements, ideas, anything, send all of that to comments at iCatholic.show. For Intentionally Catholic, I'm Dan Hansen.
I'm Father Ron Hutchinson. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Intentionally Catholic. If you like what you heard, please consider sharing our show with a friend. If you have comments, questions, or topics you'd like to hear discussed, please email those to comments@icatholic.show. And be sure to tune in next time for another episode.